Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark.
What's a going on?
Have you started becoming like a cartoon Italian?
It's my new gimmick. I'm called Marco Ravioli.
Well, it's no worse than those Vikings that have turned up in WWE.
I'm quite obsessed with that, and I think I've actually got the reason it's such a bad name.
Right.
So War Raiders, who previously, when they're in Independence, were called War Machine, which is a better name. They're in NXT for about a year.
Right.
They have this perfectly serviceable name, and then they debut on the main roster of Raw and WWE as the Viking Experience.
The Viking Experience sounds like one of those 4D projector-led smells, sights, sounds it's kind of experiences you get.
The second room in the Millennium Dome, isn't it? Viking Experience.
It is, next to a James Bond display of Aston Martin.
Yeah, not even that good of shoes. Shoes used by the actors who are in it, not the characters. But the reason it's such a bad name is it's the word experience. Because what it says is, oh, this isn't real. They're not real Vikings.
Yeah.
They're just men dressed as Vikings. It's a Viking experience.
It sounds like a euphemism for sexual assault. I've pillaged.
Yeah. Did you full look, Viking experience
it was,
them?
It was not...
imagine I'm a cricketer.
It was not an assault. It was a Viking-like experience that you experienced.
Did you burn down the house afterwards? Yes, I did. High five me, bro. A little vignette there of what it must be like to be at an American university.
Yes.
WrestleMania 18.
Oh, we're back with X8.
Yeah.
X8. They're still not giving up on the mixed X's and the 8s.
Very mixed signals there with the X and the 8. Yeah. Like they don't understand Roman numerals or Arabic numerals, for that matter. I think we're actually... This is the first time we've got to... Obviously, it's the first time because we've only done this series once.
Mm.
But this is the first time we've actually reached the tipping point. So we're on WrestleMania 35 is the most recent one.
Yes.
Which took place when we're recording at the start of April.
Of
so
course,
about two weeks ago.
Right.
I am still tired from having watched it. It was so... I'm dreading having to talk about it to some degree when we get there. It's a really bad... There was another podcast that did WrestleManias after a, I don't know, we've been going for about 2 months and someone sort of looks at that and thought, good format, I'll nick it. How can I change it enough that they don't come after me? We can't come after you. It's fucking talking about WrestleMania. But they reversed the order. So they started with the most recent one and then worked their way back.
Mm.
And I looked at that at the time and I thought, how silly to do. And actually, they're onto something because the earlier ones, the earlier ones are so much more unprofessional and fun. And the later ones, not only are they really slick and bad things happen far less frequently, the people in them are all a bit careery.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not as troubled.
Do you remember when you first started work, right? Wherever you worked, and there were people there who were absolute fucking lunatics.
Stealing a living, stealing supplies.
People who like, they'd sort of go, you've got to be a bit careful about him, because 2 years ago, he just jumped out of the window through the glass. You know? Life was full of people like that. And those people seem to have, I don't know what's happened to them, whether, you know, they've all died or health and safety has made it impossible to be a lunatic.
When we joined, or certainly when I joined XFM, they were like, oh, Russell Brand was bringing tramps this time last year. You've missed the boat on this one.
Yeah, half of the shows you listen to on XFM, you could hear people taking drugs, you know, whether it was bands or just management who used to come in and let me make it clear, no management at XFM passed
yeah,
or
pre- blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they fucking did, Mark.
But it's the same with wrestling where, I mean, none of them are dying now. None of them are getting into really weird shit. I mean, mean, there's no. Where are your Tony Atlases with their foot fetishes?
Where are the foot fetishes? Where is the obscene drug addiction? Where is the obsession with Bitcoin? Where are all these people? For crying out loud.
There's only one fact which I'm looking forward to, and it's going to be so far in the future that I might as well do it now, is that Bray Wyatt was, he had quite a difficult divorce. Mm. And one of the things that came up in the divorce was the amount of money he was spending every month on the maintenance of a miniature horse.
Oh, magic.
But that's like the only one thing. Yeah. We're stuffed.
The only fetish is a tiny horse.
I know. I don't think he was even fucking it. I think he just liked it, the weirdo. Oh. But this WrestleMania, to me, to some degree, is like the start of the rot or the non-rot, because it's quite a pro-WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And everyone in it is still sort of doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, even like Scott Hall, you'd be like, oh, that's going to be a meaty chapter. It ends really well.
Right.
So that's ruined that, hasn't it?
That's sad.
We're not here to hear nice stories.
No, God, no.
But I what did you think of this one? I did enjoy it, but it wasn't as good as I'd remembered it being.
Yeah, I mean the wrestling was fine, and the it was fine. It was fine. Nothing of note, really.
Yeah, it's a one match card.
Yes,
really, and that match is spectacular. We'll get to that, I'm
sure. We'll get to that, I'm sure.
Worth saying just a couple of things, a little bit of housekeeping before we go. Into the actual WrestleMania itself. A couple of reviews online recently that have got my dander up.
Okay.
One of them was someone who'd actually taken the time to revise his original four-star review, and he put it to two to say they just don't talk about wrestling anymore.
Right.
I mean, I would.
It's the cookbook, innit? It was the cookbook episode.
It's a cookbook by wrestlers.
It was the cookbook episode, and possibly September 11th.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, I do understand that. Let me change that. I understand what you mean. I totally disagree with it, and you've got a lifetime ban. this is your last bit you can listen to legally.
Yeah.
After this, it's legal. Listen, our second lifetime ban. Okay. Is going to someone who did something. They can't have listened to... Or, it drives me up the wall. Someone said they shouldn't be 29 minutes long. There's one. They should all be at least 50.
Now, at least 50?
At least 50.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah,
okay, right,
yeah.
Okay. Mark's got a baby. And I am
busy. He's got a job.
I've got 17 podcasts to do every fucking week.
I looked at the thing and there's only like two episodes that are under 50 minutes anyway. I mean, it's all sort of around that amount. But if you'd have gone back and listened to more WrestleMe's, if you love it so bloody much, you'd know I've addressed this before about people. Don't leave bad reviews to say I wanted more. Greedy pigs mustn't leave two-star reviews.
You have to go into the WrestleMe Wellness Program where I hit you with a birch rod in a dungeon.
That is
right?
Your gimmick, isn't it? I'm Birch Rod. Good name. Could be anything. Could be a porn star. Lovely. Before we start as well, just again, some housekeeping. I put up some photos that were bad photos taken at wrestling events.
Yes.
John Lister, who is probably Britain's best and best known and greatest historian of the wrestling scene.
Yeah.
He put up some brilliant ones of his where he's literally in the back row and they're just tiny figures miles and miles away. But one of them I put up was sort of like, ha-ha, isn't this bad? Paul Heyman retweeted.
Yes.
And that is a good performing tweet. People are ironically going, these blurry shots of Rick Rude are classic.
Well, it is, though, isn't it? It's sort of seeing something they're not staged, they're just... as it happened on a house show, someone's just managed to get a little cheapy camera.
All I'd say is if you don't follow us on the Twitter, then just if you have got some photos that you've taken, it doesn't matter how crap they are, it's sort of worth putting into the pot, because I think there are people out there who are like, this is missing bits of wrestling history.
Huge.
And it's good fun. I actually went through my photos and I have got you an original one that I took myself of Ravishing Rick Rude doing his
gyration. Oh, he's doing a sexy dance. Yes.
And you can see on the back I've even given it the date, December 91. Yeah.
Oh.
Look at that.
Oh, you were near him.
I know. That is that piece of film that has been transposed onto that was as close to Rick Rude as anything you're ever going to touch.
Oh, that's magical.
Yeah.
Really dirty looking ropes as well. Like, the ropes look really...
I think that's actually my camera.
Foul.
I think it was actually quite upmarket. But back in like the 90s, all cameras looked like you've taken a photograph through gravy. It's just, Britain was a gravy country back then.
I always sort of think about like wrestlers on flights and stuff. What do you reckon Ravishing Rick Rude eats on a flight? I mean, he probably gets involved with a bit of chicken.
Do you know what's really sad is he didn't live to see a period where everyone basically eats like he probably ate back then. Yes. So it's all now sushi and, you know, chicken. And you can say to people, I don't want that with sauce.
Yeah.
And they have to then not do it with sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the old days when they'd run it under the tap and then throw it back. Yeah. There you fucking go.
To be fair, they got a little bit of a time burp from times gone by. My mate Sarah was like, rang up. She got like a kind of like, they send you ingredients for a meal.
Yeah.
And she went,
they're the sort of people who sponsor podcasts, aren't they?
Yeah, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, we should slag them off. But I don't think they're very good. Because they literally went, hi, she went, oh yeah, can you not send me, it says here, you've randomly selected that I want some pork and I don't eat pork. Mm-hmm. Could you not send me the pork, please? And they went, no, it's too late. He's gone, well, it's not turned up yet, so it's not too late, is it? So don't send me the pork. And he went, no, you're getting the pork. Imagine if she was Jewish. That would literally be a hate crime.
Oh, totally.
Massively.
Totally. I believe that's why it was set up. We're happy to edit that bit out if they are willing to sponsor the podcast for the next 6 months.
TikTok. TikTok.
And the other thing, the final bit I brought is we talked ages and ages ago about buying something for each WrestleMania.
Yes.
For under 15 quid. Mm. And actually, I got something really good for this one. So this is a thing. They were huge. I think they are still quite big. But it's a trading card which has a piece of the actual ring canvas used at WrestleMania 18. You're going to get to touch your first bit of ring canvas.
Oh, my God. This got has that got Ric Flair's blood in it?
No. Funnily enough, when they first started, there are some that are dirty as. And I think you can buy, like, a Starrcade 83 piece of the ring that does have blood on
filth.
It. But because it's, like, a publicly traded company, they don't want children licking away at what is presumably at least Hep C blood.
Or cloning.
So they don't tend to do the dirty ones. But you get like an inch square of the canvas.
And it's
these
great, isn't it?
You can get these for almost nothing.
This is fantastic.
There's a whole series of like Stone Cold's shirt that they then cut up and put on. I mean,
what a job. Yeah. What a job for a runner.
I had a look at that and I was sort of going, I wonder how many you get out of a ring canvas.
Yeah.
A ring canvas is 20 feet by 20 feet square. So it's huge.
It's about the size of a postage stamp, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I tried to work it out, and the number was too big on the calculator, which made me think, I've got no idea how to do this.
It was E.
But I think
it was boobs.
They sometimes they're numbered 500 and sometimes 2,000.
Right.
I think out of the ring, you can probably get about, like, 200,000.
This is wonderful.
It's good, though, isn't it?
Really, really nice.
That's a little bit of WrestleMania history.
That's just... what I like about it is, look at Hulk Hogan's face. He looks really worried. He looks really pinned.
He does. He looks like... it's like they've said to him, smile, and he's gone, I can't ruin the shot by admitting that I've got a really bad stabbing pain.
He looks like he's in agony, bless him. He looks
does.
A bit like a cross between my dad and Chris Moyles, because my dad has got a... My dad's got a big old handlebar tash.
Also, the angle of rip of the T-shirt makes it look like he's got a sort of... You know when men dress as women really unconvincingly? It's a sort of very shapeless red dress.
It's when dads of the 90s used to dress as the Spice Girls.
Yes.
And just for a joke.
Oh, they still do.
They did.
Because I'm a disgusting liberal elite, I went on the march for a second vote.
Yeah.
And halfway down, there were a group of ladies of a certain vintage doing a Spice Girls medley they'd rewritten to be about anti-Brexit.
I went on the same march and I put my wireless noise cancelling headphones on because they're whistles, Mark.
Yes,
and the
I know.
Noises.
Anyway, it totally changed my opinion. I do not want to live in a United Europe where that Spice Girls parody is acceptable. So I'm afraid I'm all for bringing back. I was going to say colonialism there, and I'm really glad I didn't. That sounds
you just
weird.
Did, Mark.
You know when you do a joke and you're like, everyone knows where this is going, and I fumbled it at the last bit, and everyone will have gone, oh, disgusting.
I've threatened someone with a knife, and I've just plunged it in their heart. So that's I'm going to prison now.
Hey.
Never mind.
Well, it was worth the bants. hey, so let's get stuck in, shall we? We're back in Toronto Sky Dome.
Yeah, second WrestleMania.
That's right. Yeah, it's also only the second WrestleMania to take place out of the USA.
Right.
Both times in the Sky Dome in Canada.
Mm.
It's a great venue, and
it's
for the right matches. It's a really hot crowd.
Mm.
It's also a weird little anomaly in that the two main events of WrestleMania, even though this one doesn't go on last, it's clearly the main event. The two main events that Hulk Hogan is in and is pinned, they both happen in this place. One's the Ultimate Warrior, the other is to the Rock. So it's a sort of, it's an unlucky place for Hulk Hogan.
For Hulky.
But it's also, you know, in this bit, it really is the return of his career.
Yeah.
A career that, you know, had gone to WCW. I think at the time he'd been mired for about 2 years in a legal case about an angle with Eric Bischoff that went too far, and Hogan felt that he was treated unprofessionally, right. And he was just in limbo. Mm. And they brought him back here. I think he's like 47, 48.
He's in better nick than, it seems like he's in better nick than he was.
Yeah, it really, I mean, he's. I think he's had three knee replacements here, which is also what happens with superstar Billy Graham. So there's a common connector between those guys.
Those moustaches.
Yes, very much so. I mean, Hogan is a self-confessed steroid user.
Yeah.
He's in remarkable shape. This match is the big sell on this.
Yeah.
The main event is Triple H versus Chris Jericho, which is a match that, I mean, I don't think anyone really cared about at all.
Yeah, I don't know why didn't they put Hulk Hogan versus The Rock? Was it because The Rock had main evented?
No, it was really because they still had this idea that the WWF belt was so prestigious it had to close out the show. And
right,
to do otherwise would have been, you know, a mistake.
Put the hardcore belt on.
One of the strongest parts that run through this.
Treat that seriously, don't they?
But yeah, this looks great. This amazing stadium. The other thing you've got here is flashbulbs going off. So when the big moves happen, everyone starts taking photographs. And it looks spectacular. I think that's a really sad thing that we've lost from wrestling. That moment where you get a big move and the whole place just lights up.
Yeah.
Properly exciting. Excuse me, when I get excited, I make disgusting coughs. This is also the last WrestleMania that takes place under the WWF logo.
Yes, okay.
So it's WWE now. The World Wildlife Fund, back in 1994, had basically said, can you please stop using WWF on everything? And they'd won a court case, and the WWF had basically, the wrestlers, had basically sort of gone, fuck them, don't worry about it, we'll keep doing it. And it took a bit of time, but then the World Wildlife Fund, they turn around and said, no, you've actually broken this agreement again and again and again. It ends up in High Court in London, because that's where the World Wildlife Fund for Nature are based.
Right.
By this time, they've changed their name. They're not the World Wildlife Fund anymore. They've added For Nature. So they could have FN on the end and it's done. But the reason they were so annoyed about it was they said they didn't want their global brand to be damaged by any unsavoury connection with professional wrestling. And they really hit this point where they were just like, we think you're disgusting.
Yeah.
So we don't want anybody confusing the two of us. The WWF, the wrestlers, they argued nobody would make that mistake. Mm. If you had a panda there, it's not like you're going to have a panda involved in a wrestling match until the last couple of years in Japan, where there is a giant panda
Beautiful.
That wrestles and is probably the best thing that's happened to wrestling in 15 years. But the British High Court actually enforced it, and they said, yep, there's been this continual use of the initials when you've been told not to. The wrestlers had said, look, it's going to cost us £35 million to make all these changes. And the High Court just said, yep, well, you're going to have to do it. You should have done it in 1994.
Yeah.
So this is the last of the WWF years.
We are selling off little postage stamp sized bits of panda to anyone who wants them, and we need the scope to do that.
I look at stuff like this and I actually love the merchandising of wrestling. I think it's really clever.
Yeah.
And it has that thing of, you just get to, I don't know, be in contact with it in some way.
Yeah.
They have it in football.
You occasionally get, like, when a stadium sort of shuts down, you'll get you'll be able to buy a bit of turf.
Yeah, or the seats.
Or buy a seat or a corner flag or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or get your brick put in. But not really, unless something's shutting down. You don't really get a piece of... Maybe you can sort of get match-worn shirts, but they're mainly kind of like for charity anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really get that much connection with the actual...
I like the crap.
Yeah.
I like the crap of it. It's really appealing. There was one series in 2002 that I was reading about, and they had cards that used to have a little square, and they actually put a bit of steel chair in there. So a steel chair that had been hit over someone's head.
That's a pain to cut. That's more of a pain to cut up.
These are selling for $10 each. Each pair of scissors I've got through. And I've got through nearly 6,000 pairs of them. We are running at a loss. this is also the year when finally WCW has been vanquished and bought.
Yes.
And in the intervening year has been pretty much squandered entirely. Mm. The dream of WWF versus WCW doesn't really happen. And the reason it doesn't happen is all tied up in boring stuff like contractual sort of obligations.
Right.
All of the big stars from WCW, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Mm. All of them have been given quite good contracts by WCW so that they didn't jump to the opposition, the WWF.
Yes.
What's happened with that is they still have time to run. So the WCW wrestlers who don't move over are all people who have got guaranteed contracts being paid by Turner Broadcasting. And they're like, well, we could come over to work, but then we don't get that money.
Yeah.
Or we can just sit at home and be paid top dollar and not worry about anything.
So it empties out a lot of the roster.
It does. The WWF are also really... They just didn't want to buy them out.
Yeah.
It was so much money.
Yeah.
And they should have done. They would have made back all that money. They have a pay-per-view in the middle of 2001 called Invasion, which is the first time you get WWF versus WCW. The dream match. It's the thing that everyone's been thinking about for 25 years.
Yeah.
What happens there is it's all crappy mid-carders from WCW and the WWF stars absolutely obliterate them.
Yeah.
You know, they can't let this idea go that WWF might not have been as good as WCW, so they book it to make WCW look crap. Mm. Within
so
a year...
No, so there's no peril there?
None at all, none at all. And what they do is they destroy the money. They could have kept this running for 2-3 years,
yeah,
and it would have built and built and built, and it would have just been the best business they'd ever done.
Mm.
And instead, they totally squander it. By the time we get to this WrestleMania, a lot of those guaranteed contracts have come due. So people like Hogan, Nash, Hall, Flair are all... available.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think the Raw the night after Goldberg appears. So you suddenly get the big stars from WCW and they are treated a little bit better, other than the fact that in this WrestleMania, every single one of them does lose. it's a bit of a booking nightmare. The other thing you can see here is for the first time, Vince McMahon realizes that people are not just watching WWF. They know who Hulk Hogan is. They know who Scott Hall is. They know who Kevin Nash is. And they begin to sort of notice there's a bit of a demand for nostalgia.
Yeah.
And the nostalgia is something that we see really strongly for the next 5 years, where they bring back the stars from the past and they begin going, okay, there's money in the old people who everyone remembers.
Yeah.
And you really see that at this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Again, it all comes down to the Hogan match, which was totally unexpected, the way that the crowd reacted to it, pretty much by anyone within the WWF.
So they really didn't sort of see that coming. They put it together. They just thought, you know, let's have a punt at this, and it just banged.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to it.
Mm.
But I mean, the most amazing thing is the main event for this, or that certainly that match was going to be Hulk Hogan versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
And Austin, who was in not a great place at the time, he was very dissatisfied with the way his career was going. He felt like it was falling apart. He didn't think that the writers understood what his character was.
Yeah.
They're asking him to lose to people that he was sort of going, but this should be a bigger match. Why are we throwing it away? He basically said, I don't think Hogan, at his age, will be able to deliver the sort of match that I need and that I am good at.
Right.
And so he said, I don't want to work with him.
Yeah.
So they then passed it on to The Rock. And Austin has since said that was a huge mistake. Mm. He should have, a WrestleMania Austin Hogan, it would have been huge. I don't think it would have been half as good a match as The Rock ended up having with Hogan.
Yeah.
But the main thrust of it is really... Austin dropped the ball on that one. That's a term that gets used about his career following up, because he begins leaving the WWE really upset, and at one point he just disappears, and they say he went home, and you know, with his ball is the big thing. And
right.
He just made it's sad. This is the last full calendar year of Austin's career, and he ends up never having a one-on-one match with Hogan, the biggest star of the 80s versus the biggest star of the 90s, the most recognisable pro wrestler in the world versus the greatest moneymaker in wrestling history.
Mm.
And it never happened.
Yeah.
So, sad times.
Never mind.
Sad times.
Never mind. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Saliva.
Yeah, we don't start with a national anthem on nothing.
No.
We start with the band Saliva.
This is the new metal era, isn't it?
It really is.
WrestleMania.
I mean, it's 2002. They shouldn't really be. Shouldn't really be doing this. But yeah, no.
2001 is the high point for that sort of American
definite drop off.
Yes.
This. Then you're getting straight into ska punk.
Yeah. They are Saliva are pretty appalling.
They are pretty bad.
I don't know if people still listen to them. This is something also slightly gets me is wrestling today is still very much part of that, if you like, alternative music scene.
Right.
And it's not the alternative music that I like. It's the alternative music that like is an emo thing, which is just it's a youth movement that was, you know, I was probably about 30 by the time emo hit. And I find even when I go to wrestling now, it's all a bit emo. And people tend to look at me like, who's this fucking square? Who's this fed coming in?
Well, the bands seem to... The thing about American bands is certainly, I think Saliva is still with us, inexplicably. They're still together. And with America, because of the scale of it, you will find pockets of people who still like you. Mm. So you can play state fairs and you can play, like, you know, gigs until your dying day, really.
I was slightly amazed at like how bad the lyrics were. And I know that makes me sound 105. But I was like, it's going to have some emotional depth and it'll probably be about alienation and it'll probably be about fighting. And one of the lyrics was, if it feels good, it feels good and I do it all day. I mean, that is the sort of thing you'd hear in a song by Lolly.
Well, it's like, isn't there a bit where you talk about a limousine or is that Cold Chamber later on? Sorry, not Cold Chamber.
Drowning Pool.
Drowning Pool. So this should be Cold
Pool. Why can't you have a nice name? Why don't you think of a nice name? Darling, you know, they're very noisy.
Drowning Pool, like, really sort of, they're kind of holding their nose a little bit for the sake of some mass market appeal.
Yeah, look, lads, if you're there, you might as well look like you want to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Otherwise, you look like the pricks. I was not allowed to rewind the saliva to listen to the lyrics. My wife was absolutely, that was not going to happen. Yeah, she was like, no, you can't rewind it. You're not going to sit through that again. So, but let me just say, they seemed appalling.
Well, this is after the dark match. You know, I'm obsessed with dark matches.
Yes.
Quite a big one, to be fair, before the whole thing aired. Mr. Perfect, Lance Storm and Test featured Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty and Albert.
Yeah.
In a six-man tag team match.
Yeah,
so,
I think this must be Mr. Perfect's last WrestleMania.
Oh, did he do something mental on a plane? Didn't he have a later on this year?
He did, yes. He got into... There are so many plane stories that I always get them confused. But yes, Mr. Perfect, I think, did...
Was it Brock Lesnar? He had a legitimate wrestling match with, and it only got scary when I think he got smashed into the door of the plane.
That sounds... Kurt Hennig was a notorious ribber as well, so he was absolutely one of those blokes who, if you were going to sit near him, you would end up finding some shit in your bag.
Yeah. People's hair was cut off. Ric Flair walked down the aisle just in a robe.
That's right, yeah.
Woo!
I believe a stewardess then launched a private civil suit against him.
Yes.
For some kind of harassment that he'd done.
I think Scott Hall maybe might have been accused of something. It just all seemed like a big shame.
I will look for next time about the plane ride from hell, because it is funny. And no one's quite talked about it fully in detail.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good rumours and things. But no, Kurt Hennig ends up just... I believe he has a heart attack, which is... the autopsy revealed he had a very enlarged heart, which would suggest it was down to steroid use. I have a feeling he may have taken cocaine.
Yeah, I think he died of cocaine asphyxiation or something like that.
Yes. It's so sad. He was such a talented wrestler. And actually, when he came back, I think he comes back at the Royal Rumble in 2002, and they put him in the last three. It was a real surprise. He hadn't really lost a step. He had a very boring time, like a lot of people did in WCW for many years. But as soon as he's back in the WWF, he's A-game again.
Right.
And it was, again, I think had he been just around a few years later, I think they would have brought him out as a more useful hand because of the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Whereas in this point, I think they're just like, oh, everyone will think he's old, which is a shame. You know, he could really go.
Well, I sort of feel like, because I've sort of missed, because we've been doing WrestleMania, it seems like, and it probably wasn't, it seems like only yesterday that Mr. Perfect was wrestling in WWE. So it's kind of like, has he been away for that long?
Yeah, I think the last time he would have, probably WrestleMania 9, think. Yeah,
right.
So it could be a long time ago. It could actually be exactly the same amount of time as Hogan.
It was sort of fascinating sort of hearing about why wrestlers moved over. And like Scott Hall in particular, like, spoke quite eloquently about, you know, going to Vince and saying, look, my money's plateaued. You've been in the house shows where I'm popping, I'm big, I know I'm selling these out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he made the point, Scott Hall said, I looked at my revenue statement for like the for the merch. I said, if you just move that point to the right, you wouldn't notice as a family, but my family would notice, which is quite a nice way of putting it. But he just wanted more merch money, and he actually even, I think, gave Vince an out to sort of say, look, let me just go to Japan for a couple of months and I'll come back. I'll just make a lot of sweet Japanese yen and come back. And he was like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, it's just really short sighted, because then you lose your wrestler, don't you?
It came at a time as well where I think, you know, business for the WWE had been so bad that Vince McMahon couldn't really see a way to keep the company going at the level it was and pay that money. Now, there's always a way. I shouldn't imagine the McMahons were sitting around, you know, a candle at Christmas time, you know.
Well, he sort of said that the money that was coming in was the people's money. It wasn't your money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, it costs a lot to put on, but like the money, I was creating capital for you.
Yeah.
So give me some of that.
There's a famous story from around this time that Chris Jericho went to a toy shop to buy his own doll. And when they rang it through, it said on the till receipt, it said Triple H figure. And he was like, well, hang on, that means that the money for this is going to go on to his thing.
Yeah.
So there's all these sorts of things that they'd noticed. So the money is, there is a book to be written where someone follows all the money in the WWE.
Oh,
to work
God.
Out how much people were paid over the years is thrilling.
Not on this podcast, though, because we want to maintain our small amount of income.
Yeah.
Not with this.
I don't want to have to do any more work. That's really it. You get the credits here, which launch WrestleMania. And again, they're doing that nostalgia thing. People are beginning to talk about how important WrestleMania is to them.
Yep.
And they get the big stars to do it, your Austins and your Hogans and your Rocks. Mm. And they are really sort of going, this is the place where it happens. Mm. They start calling it, they compare it to the Super Bowl. And it just seems really funny that in the, you know, the last few years, they haven't really gone, this is the big show. And they're now realising, probably after last year's stadium show, they're going, actually, maybe the draw itself is WrestleMania. Mm. That's really come to pass, because you look at, like, this year, WrestleMania 35, it sold out before any of the matches were announced.
Right.
It's no longer about the matches, it's about the name WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And you can begin to see them recalibrating here.
Well, it's like, it's like the World Cup, it's like, you'd be there. You know, it doesn't matter what match you're going to get, you've just got to be there.
Yeah,
be there.
Massively. The first match is Rob Van Dam versus the Intercontinental Champion William Regal. This is a strange match for me, because both of these wrestlers are good.
Yeah.
William Regal is great, but he is not a flashy, showy wrestler. He's just a great wrestler. He's really good fun. He does such clever little things, which don't necessarily go over in a massive stadium. At the time, he wasn't regarded as well as he is now. I think I've said this before, but by the end of his career, people were like, he is one of the greats. Mm. When his career was going on, they'd go, oh, it's a bit boring.
Isn't it weird?
And what you get here is you get Rob Van Dam, who at the time everyone was going, he is the most like electrifying wrestler you've ever seen in your life. He is the pioneer and the innovator. And now you look back at him and go, he's a bit sloppy and it doesn't really have any psychology. So it's a weird sort of tale. What happens here is they put together two people with such contrasting styles that Rob Van Dam can't really do any of his impressive stuff, and William Regal can't really do any of the detailed technical
charisma-y
stuff.
Really.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a disappointing opening, really.
Good finish of that. Rob Van Dam's finishing move, flying through the air. I quite enjoyed that. Yeah. That was a lot of air.
The 5-star frog splash.
Oh,
it's very good.
What, is it like a frog splash but better? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
more hang time.
He used to call himself the whole fucking show, and there again, like the 5-star on frog splash, the word fucking is totally redundant in that. You don't need to overemphasize it. But he was
fucking frog splash.
I know.
Rob
Van Dam, still to this day, still wrestling. Just signed a new contract with Impact. And he is believed to still be taking a lot of marijuana, which ultimately, a few years down the line, would cost him the run he had with the WWE belt.
Oh, yeah, because
he was pulled over in a car.
Really? Because I mean, weed is like you probably want them taking weed and, you know, is it CBD that thing in it or whatever?
Uh-huh.
Like, you'd probably want them taking cannabis oil rather than hardcore painkillers.
There's been a lot of wrestlers over the years who have said that marijuana shouldn't be on the strike list, because that is a thing that A, keeps them in their rooms and stops them pissing about, B, it helps them relax and gets away the aches and pains, and C, isn't illegal in all the states of America.
But that's strange.
Yeah, but then again, you know, hey, it's up to your boss of your company to set his rules.
I wonder how the Colorado Federation deals with legal highs. I was enjoying William Regal tweet output.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good on Twitter. But I've learned so much about him just by reading a few tweets from the past few weeks. He loves the Blackpool Tower.
He does.
He loves the TV show Still Game. He says it's up there with Craig Cash's Early Doors.
two sitcoms that if I see on, I go,
ugh. Yeah, exactly. But, goes, yay!
He's sitting in some lovely condo in like Florida or probably Atlanta trying to get a hooky copy of Still Game on.
Have you got like a decent torrent provider for Still Game? Nobody's uploaded.
Marvellous, but elderly Scottish gentleman. What?
He's friends with Lars Fredriksson of Rancid, like every fucking wrestler seems to be friends with a member of Rancid. And some other tweets include, sad that my friend Mean Gene Auckland has passed. Mean Gene Auckland, sorry for the autocorrect, such a fine man, RIP. And then he retweeted a Stan and Ollie official account. Retweet if you'd like to see Stan Laurel on the new £50 note. Hashtag Stan and Ollie.
Typical interfering bloke who lives abroad, getting involved in Britain's decisions. A few things about William Regal. He was known as Steve Regal for a long time, but they changed his name when he came to the WWF because they had Steve Austin, and they didn't want people to confuse the two. So he was renamed William Regal. His real name is the most English name of all time. It's Darren Darren Matthews.
Darren Matthews. No middle name, fuck it.
Yeah. He started in the British wrestling scene, and there is some footage online of him when he was on Blackpool Pier, and he was one of the wrestlers who basically you would line up and someone would say, who wants to fight the wrestlers? Who reckons they can pin him within three rounds? You'll win 100... It's presented by Paddy McGuinness. You'll win £100. Come on, in you come. And Regal was 16 at that point, and he looked... The others were massive men.
Yeah.
So the people would always pick Regal. Mm. So he had to become a great wrestler to just stop himself getting his head kicked
wrestle
in.
Wrestle blocks.
Yeah, he's
Blackpool men. Yeah. The men of Blackpool.
He's really one of the only wrestlers from Britain in the certainly the post Dynamite and Davey Boy
right.
period. So rather than 82, if you look at 86 onwards, he's pretty much the only one who had an American career.
Right.
I think I've mentioned it before, but Giant Haystacks had a couple of appearances in WCW, but he was ill by that point. Yeah. Didn't last long. You get Fit Finlay, who comes through as well a bit later on, and you also get Robbie Brookside, who was a great Liverpudlian wrestler and who is now one of the head trainers at NXT.
Oh, okay.
And those guys, honestly, they are the best raconteurs because they did the wrestling that wasn't the Hulk Hogan era. They were doing the Big Daddy era and right. the bit where Big Daddy retired and it fell off a cliff. And it is just, you know, it's stories of transit vans, milky eggs in diners, you know, just, you know, big fat women, you know, people with snake collections, you know, it's magic. He wrote an autobiography which is called, I think, Walking a Blackpool Mile, and it's about his life in wrestling. And honestly, it's I could read British wrestling autobiographies all day long. Mm. That one is a corker.
It's so outside the realms of my, you know, what I'm experiencing with my first taste of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny, of course, is you can't really see a huge amount of the old wrestling footage. Most of the events that took place around the country, they were such a small scale.
Yeah.
They were never recorded. They were, I dare say, beyond the posters that still survive, there is no record of them even happening. But the British wrestling scene, there's a lovely book by John Lister, who I mentioned earlier. He wrote a lovely book which is called, oh gosh, Same Time Next Week, I think it's called. That's totally wrong. I know it's wrong and I can't remember what it is. It's the sign-off that Kent Walton used to use at the end of World of Sport. It's available on Amazon. Mm. I've recommended it before on the Twitter. It's so interesting. He just talks to all of the old British wrestlers. Mm. I can't get enough of that. There is a British wrestlers reunion that happens every summer in Kent in a pub that's owned by a former British wrestler. And I've been wanting to go to that for about 6 years and I think I might go down this year.
Yeah, I presume punters are allowed to sort of... I mean, they can't sort of keep you away, can they?
No, and I am going to pin all of the surviving British wrestlers. I've got a new submission hold which I use, and what I've done is I've actually stitched a bit of barbed wire on my arm so it makes it doubly effective.
Just take their medication away.
A couple of good signs here. One, Dawn has big nips. Kevin Nash's Super Shredder.
Super Shredder. What's is like the
Super
Ninja
Shredder
Turtles?
Is the enemy in the new in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film.
Oh,
and he was played by Kevin Nash.
What? Yeah. Wait a second.
Kevin Nash is just a big guy, and they put the suit on him, so he is actually credited as playing Super Shredder in the TMNT movie.
Oh, the first one
might be the second one. Oh, is the second one called something like Shredder's?
Secret of the Ooze.
The Secret of the Ooze
is the second one.
That's the one. That's right. The one. Why would you put a wrestler in one that you thought was going to be a big hit? Wait for the second one, then get the cheap wrestlers.
That's incredible because obviously he's gigantic. I know that, but. That is strange because I thought, and it's the cartoon that Uncle Phil is the voice of Shredder, uh-huh. I believe. So, does Kevin Nash voice Shredder then?
Do you think I'm going to watch TMNT2?
Why not?
Just to
brilliant.
Answer your questions.
I love the Ninja Turtles.
That IMDb can really sort out for you. You're very lazy. You're very lazy, Peter. Naughty. One last fact about RVD. He actually now has the longest win streak at WrestleMania. He went 4-0, and nobody else has done that because since The Undertaker lost his streak.
Oh, okay.
So Rob Van Dam has the longest undefeated streak at WrestleMania. Other people in the running are Demolition Axe, who went 3-0, Legion of Doom and Sable, who are also 3-0, Mr. T, Terry Funk, Tatanka and Virgil are all with 2 wins and no losses.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, that man.
Amazing stuff. It's nice to see a list about the greatest of all time, and it has both Virgil and Tatanka on it.
Somebody sent in, I'm going to end the show with a couple of, well, one email. I think every show in this run we'll sort of talk about a couple of emails.
Gotcha.
There was a great email from somebody who mentioned Sable. You know, we talked about the Beanie Baby of Sable.
Yes,
Sable's the Beanie Baby bear
that had the man yes. the human handprints on a tiny bear's tits.
Yeah, exactly. So weird. somebody sort of thought that it might be something to do with Rowdy Roddy Piper, like because I think we asked why Sable had black oily handprints on her boobs, but I would say that he's only got one black hand.
Yes,
because he only painted half his body, didn't he? We're going to end with an email from Paul Nugent.
Lovely.
Age 32. Hi guys, enjoy the show. Have either of you seen the Baywatch episode with WCW wrestlers? It's season 6, episode 15, Bash at the Beach.
Right.
I watched too much of this. Way too much. It's 1995, 96. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan, Savage, Flair, Vader fighting over some sort of outdoor gym. And Hogan also gets involved with a bit of lifeguarding on the side, hanging out with Pamela Anderson.
Wow.
And what I like about it is, and what I've seen of it, it's quite good because they have a situation where there's a through point of someone having skin cancer. And who's the main guy out of...
Hasselhoff.
And Hasselhoff is sort of dealing with that. Mm. And then there's this complete other narrative of this Goonie style kind of you have to save the clubhouse from the awful property developer. The awful property developer is Ric Flair, and he's ably assisted by his henchman, Vader, Big Van Vader. Mm. And it's basically the Goonies literally on steroids. And Big Van Vader, to show how strong he pops a basketball. But it's clearly one of those really cheap kind of shoot ones. But it's worth checking out, actually. It's on it's online. Just Google.
This is probably a tie in with the fact that Turner Broadcasting used to run WCW.
And they were probably going,
how can we get synergy for our programmes? And I pity the people in the Baywatch meetings where they sat there and they went, you've got to write something now and you've got to get six professional wrestlers in it. Just go, oh, fucking hell.
It's actually fairly watchable. Paul does go on to say, me and the wife just watched it and her verdict was, I'm happy that you enjoyed it. Which means she thought it was shite. The obvious sexism and the fact that she hates wrestling was probably a contributing factor.
Yeah,
it's on Amazon Prime. Go check it out. I'm not signing up for Amazon Prime. It's on, you know, the dodgy sites.
It's amazing that someone's taken the time to upload that episode of Baywatch.
It's so weird.
Come on, lads.
Ric Flair is very good, to be fair.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't think he did a lot of acting.
No, he's really good. Hogan's good. I mean, obviously he's done a bit, but like, yeah, he's sort of. He tells Pamela Anderson that the clubhouse, the gym, meant a lot to him growing up because I would have been on the street. Macho Man Randy Savage, he's in almost every shot of Hulk Hogan. He's clearly been told not to talk. Oh, I don't look pretty. If I had gone to the gym every day, I'd be on the street and I wouldn't look pretty.
There was a little Vice documentary they've done recently about Randy and Elizabeth and their sort of toxic relationship. Okay. But one of the things that came out of that is the Lanny Poffo, the brother of the Macho Man, who's known as the Genius, he mentioned that this is not a put-on voice, and that he said, why does he speak like that? And he just said, I think it was a combination of marijuana and shouting. So there you go. So
I talk like this, however. I have a lovely, rich voice.
I'd never smoke drugs.
I smoke my weed to a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
Meaty, beefy, green and buddy. That's like a proper podcast advert for weed. That's the future. Future. Okay,
have
then.
Some weed.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Russell me Pete.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got a bit one of Lenny Henry's characters, haven't I?
Take this.
Oh, yeah. No, still Lenny Henry. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Russell me, Mark.
Russell me, Pete.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.